Hello, and welcome to the third installment of Search CRM's podcast series on creating customer value with Peppers and Rogers. I'm Lauren Hoyt, site editor. In this podcast, Martha Rogers answers questions from Search CRM readers on building trust with customer strategy and customer equity in the short and long term. Take it away, Martha.
Hello, this is Martha Rogers. We have some questions this month from SearchCRM.com readers, and we're happy to answer them. The first ones are about building trust with customer strategy. And the first question is this: what's your take on traditional loyalty programs? By traditional, for example, I mean a punch card program that lets a customer earn free merchandise or discounts after a certain number of purchases. Is this becoming old-fashioned? Is there a better way, or have loyalty programs been redefined? We think that punch card programs, whether they are in fact literally punch cards or whether they're even the electronic version, which is just either a card or a program that keeps a record for you, like a frequent flyer program, that those are probably the lowest rung on the loyalty ladder and the loyalty program ladder, for the simple reason that basically all they do is reward a transaction for a bribe to get that transaction. And we know this because if we open the wallets of many folks around the world, what we see is in those consumer wallets is many different cards from many different competing companies. I, for example, carry 9 different frequent flyer program cards with me. So as long as I'm in any of those, I'm sort of happy, and each of them thinks that I love them the best, but it might not be true. So basically, what we are really looking for now is the capability that goes much further. Instead of just rewarding a customer to do this transaction with me today, I want to instead reward him for giving me the information. Perhaps it's just giving me his identity so that I can link it with a shopping cart, or letting me know that he's flying me again, or otherwise that I can find out something about him that I wouldn't have known otherwise. And I'm rewarding him so that he'll give me that information and link his identity to the information I have about him. And then I use that information to do something for him that nobody else can do. So, for example, a frequent flyer program could send me information offering me special deals on being able to take some member of my family with me. That would be valuable to me. Or to let me know about a special deal on a route that they know I'd actually like to use. It drives me nuts when they send out an email piece and I'm supposed to take my time looking at it, and it offers me special prices on routes that I'm never going to take. I don't live in either of the cities that they're offering. I don't anticipate. I've never been there before. I don't anticipate going there anytime soon. What good is that to me? That just took up my time for nothing. So what we really want to do is use a loyalty program to gather information about each customer, mass customize communications and offers to those customers, and then really entice genuine loyalty from those customers who are now getting greater value from us than they can get from others who don't know what we know, and they're getting greater value from us than other customers who don't know as much as we know about this customer. And that's really what loyalty programs are today. We have another question about building trust, and that question is, what are the customer benefits to companies that implement first call resolution, or FCR? Do you think that FCR must be strongly enforced, very strongly enforced, to build trust with customers? Great question. Well, the benefits to companies is really pretty straightforward, and there are two of them. First of all, customers are a lot happier when they can get their problem solved on the first call. And the second is that they're going to save money because customers don't have to call in over and over. The reduction in the number of calls actually saves money in the long run for the company itself. Now, do we think that FCR must be very strongly reinforced to build that trust with customers? The answer is yes and no. Yes, in the sense that so long as we are rewarding call center managers and reps for how many calls they can make in an hour and how fast they can get people off the phone, then that's what they're going to do. But the minute we start rewarding them for handling calls on the first resolution on the first call, then that's exactly what they're going to do instead. So they're going to be doing exactly what they're getting paid and rewarded most to do. Now, the good news is that, no, we don't think it's going to have to be very strongly reinforced once we're able to make that change in the compensation plan, because we believe that most reps, and for that matter, managers, really like to help their customers. They'd really rather say, let's see how I can solve your problem, not let's see how I can quick hand you off to someone else. We have two questions about customer equity and building that customer equity in both the long term as well as the short term. Here's the first question. I see building customer equity as being largely the responsibility of the call center. How can we leverage our call center agents to build long-term customer equity? Can we justify paying them well if they're part of a big equity goal on the balance sheet? Or is it intense training that can help make agents more effective as part of our long-term goals? This is a great way to ask a question because it really shows that we cannot just do something that makes money this quarter and expect that to also deliver real shareholder returns over the long haul as well. So we often see companies that are doing things in the short term that actually destroy customer equity in the long term, and part of that destruction comes from making employees unhappy. We can't really expect customers to trust our companies until the employees do. So when we start looking at what call center agents have to do and how can we leverage them to build long-term customer equity, I think that we have to really, first of all, look at how we are rewarding them, but not just how we're rewarding them with money. Are we making it a rewarding place to work at companies where the philosophy has been changed from solve the customer's problem as efficiently as you can and then get off the phone and move on to something else so that you can accommodate as many calls as you can in an hour? We see a change from that to instructing those reps to handling problems on the first call, giving them the equipment and the data, the connections to be able to do that. We see a huge reduction in the rate of turnover and churn in those employees. So not only does that make for better and longer trained and more dedicated employees, but it also reduces the cost to the bottom line because we're not having to recruit and train new reps all the time. So I think we can make some justification for paying them at least a little better, paying them well. But I think that we also need good training, and that training comes not just in the sense of being able to handle any kind of public question or query or complaint that comes along, but also in making sure that our reps have access to the kind of information about the calling customer, about our company, about the solutions that we can provide. In other words, we have to engage those reps, and we also have to enable them. We have to give them the tools they need to get the job done, and we have to give them a philosophy and a culture that makes it the kind of thing they want to do. Our second question about customer equity and building it in the long term and the short term is this. Do you recommend focusing customer service efforts on only the most profitable customers? How does this affect customer equity? That is a very loaded question, and the reason that it is because we have to think very carefully about how we define the most profitable or the most valuable customers. If we're thinking of those most profitable customers as the people who are the most profitable to us this moment, then we might miss some real opportunities to build the value of the company by looking at customers who may not be profitable today, but almost certainly will be tomorrow. So we think it's important to understand not only who those most valuable customers are, but who the most growable customers are. Who are the ones who will just never be huge, but will be solid and loyal to us if we give them a chance. And we need to know which ones are the below zero customers, the ones who are actually costing us money, which really means that they're costing the best customers money. And when we don't get rid of them, then we are really asking our very best customers to subsidize them. So when we look at whether or not we recommend focusing customer service only on the best customers, what we really have to ask ourselves is, what's the cost of that customer service? If we're talking about, web-based banking or perhaps a web retail site, then as it turns out, it's really not much more expensive to serve the least valuable customers as it is to serve the most valuable customers because the electronic cost is fairly equal and fairly low. On the other hand, if we're talking about some very special kinds of high-touch kinds of expensive things, then it probably makes more sense to lavish our resources on the places where we're going to see the greatest return for our company and our shareholders. So in many cases, that will mean those customers who are valuable to us today, who are keeping us in business, and those who, well, while they may not be today, certainly could be for tomorrow if we can identify them and make sure we're treating them very well. So that's how we affect customer equity. And any given day, a customer is becoming more or less valuable to us, whether we know it or not or do anything about it or not. And our goal is to make sure that we do know about it, that we do understand it, and that every day we are increasing the opportunity for customers to become more valuable to us, to be more likely to recommend us to their friends, to come back and do more business with us in the future. So taking a customer who's sort of medium value and making him of a little more valuable value is a worthwhile thing to try to do. Taking a customer who's very valuable and keeping him that way is likewise a very valuable thing to do. Doing like Sprint and taking your bottom 1,000 customers from your 53 million and cutting them loose so they can go find telecom nirvana with the competitor is also a very valuable thing to do, because it will provide more resources for the company to serve the most valuable customers the best. I want to thank everybody for the opportunity to answer the questions this month. Next month, it'll be Don Peppers, and I will talk to you soon.
Thanks to Martha Rogers for sharing her insight today, and thanks to our listeners at home. If you'd like to ask your own questions of Don Peppers or Martha Rogers, please submit them in the Ask the Expert section of Search CRM. Then join us again next month for a podcast on creating customer value to hear the responses. For Search CRM, I'm Lauren Hoyt.